My guest at this time is Leo Homan. He's an investigative journalist and news editor at WND.com. He is also the author of the brand new book, Stealth Invasion: Muslim Conquest Through Immigration and Resettlement Jihad. We want to get his reaction to what German police are calling a terrorist attack after someone drove a truck into a crowded Berlin Christmas market on Monday, as well as the lessons for the United States in terms of refugee resettlement. And Leo, thanks very much for being with us.
Thanks for having me on today, Greg.
At first, Leo, authorities believed a Pakistani refugee was responsible for this. Now, as of Tuesday afternoon, they've released him and say the suspect is still at large. We'll see where the case goes, but what have you gleaned based on what we know so far?
Well, it sounds to me, Greg, like the German government has imported so many of these refugees and asylum seekers over the last 2 years. As we've heard, up to 1.3 million have come in, that they don't know exactly who they have that they're dealing with here. And the real killer, they said, remains on the loose. The problem is, with that many refugees living in Germany, they have set up many enclaves. There are many, many safe houses that the killers could have escaped to and in which they're being harbored. Difficult to find for police and authorities. So they have a real mess on their hands because they've essentially done what I've described in the new book, as you mentioned, Stealth Invasion. They've basically established a nation within a nation. And we can talk a little bit about what that exactly means if you want to go down that line, but I'm open to whatever direction you'd like to go today.
Certainly. We'll get to Germany in the big picture in just a moment. Do you believe that this is likely an act of Islamist terrorism?
Oh, absolutely. There's no question about that. The only question is, in my mind, was it done by a refugee or perhaps could it have been a son of a Muslim migrant? But as I pointed out in recent articles for WND, we've had many, many terrorist attacks on U.S. soil over the last 2-3 years. They all get reported in a vacuum as if they're isolated incidents. The media never connects any of the dots or any of the threads linking them together. And the two threads that need to be linked are, number one, Islam. That's the one thing in common of all these attacks. We've had about 10 or 12 in the U.S. the last 2, 2.5, 3 years. And many more have been just in the last year in Germany. They've had over a dozen. This is the biggest one. But they all have Islam in common. And the other thing that they have in common is that they're all perpetrated by either Islamic immigrants or sons of Islamic immigrants. So you have a whole class of people who have isolated themselves within these Western countries, come in through liberal immigration policies, live in enclaves, don't assimilate, and at some point or another get quote-unquote radicalized, and then we wonder why. Well, the media never answers those questions for us. They never even ask the questions of the authorities. And so the American people live in ignorant bliss, so to speak, and think that we're really in a state of peace in the world when, as my book points out, we're actually in the middle of World War III.
We're talking with Leo Homan. The book you just mentioned is Stealth Invasion. He's news editor at WND.com. And Leo, let's talk a little bit more about Germany in the big picture. You mentioned the influx of refugees they've accepted, as many as 1.3 million. And in a relatively short period of time, it was just last New Year's that we got these horrific reports of all the groping and sexual assaults, particularly in Cologne, but in other parts of Germany as well. So what's the overarching lesson of Germany?
The overarching lesson is, people are going to be learning that lives are going to be cost. We will be paying the price in blood and in lives. We've seen it already in America. We had the St. Cloud Mall attack just a few weeks ago, where a Somali refugee went on a stabbing spree, stabbed 10 people. Then, a couple of weeks later, we have the Ohio State stabbing and car ramming incident on the campus there, another Somali refugee You know, we had the, you know, I can go down the list of these attacks that I was referring to over the last 2 or 3 years, starting with the Boston Marathon bombers, and it's just really remarkable how every single one of them was done by a young male Muslim man, either brought here as a recent immigrant or as the son of an immigrant. It's just astounding, and the lives are piling up.
So, Leo, what is the answer? We've seen Barack Obama take an approach where he is accepting refugees, although nowhere near the scale that Germany has, certainly. Donald Trump originally called for, he originally called down for a temporary ban on all Muslim immigration. Now he calls for extreme vetting. Some say shut down the refugee influx for the time being until you can figure out what's going on. What's the right answer?
Right. I believe that his original instincts were the correct answer. That was the correct answer, to shut down, to halt all Muslim immigration until we can figure out what the heck is going on. You know, he came under extreme criticism, as to be expected, from making that statement from the left in this country, which was is just solidly entrenched into this mindset of inviting the world to America without requiring anything of the immigrants like we used to. So he changed it to extreme vetting. Extreme vetting, unfortunately, won't get it done. Extreme vetting would not have caught almost a single, I'm not sure it would have caught a single one of the terrorists in this list of 10 that I have on my page sitting in front of me over the last 2 years. You know, starting with the Boston bombers in 2013, they came in as young boys. The Chattanooga shooter, Mohammed Abdulaziz, came here at the age of 6. The UC Merced stabber, you know, he was the son of a Pakistani immigrant and stabbed. He stabbed 4 people on the campus in California. The San Bernardino killer, he was the son of a Pakistani migrant, and his accomplice, Tashfeen Malik, came here, as you know, as on a fiancé visa. You know, the Nazareth Mediterranean restaurant African refugee, Mohammed Berry, you know, came here as a refugee. The St. Cloud stabbing, we've already talked about that. The Chelsea bombing, he was an Afghan refugee. The Ohio State knife attack, he was a Somali refugee, so who came here as a teenager. And, you know, so none of these would have been caught by extreme vetting because they either were born here of Muslim migrants, or they came here in their mother's womb, or they came here as a young child. So vetting would not have helped us in those cases. So that, you know, and not to mention, we could even fully vet an adult man coming from, say, Afghanistan, who has no connections to ISIS, because that's all they look for when they vet, is, are you like a card-carrying member of ISIS? You know, it's ridiculous. But we don't ask the right questions. Do you, you know, follow Sharia law? Do you, you know, and that's assuming they would give us honest answers. You know, say they did, say they did not, they answered all the questions correctly, and we let them in. That does not preclude them becoming radicalized after they get here. That's what happens most often. And not to mention, the second generation of the migrants is often more dangerous than the first generation, because they know that their family has these roots in the Middle East, and when they grow up, go to college, become educated, they've adopted a Western lifestyle, like the Chattanooga shooter. You know, he was, by all appearances, a fully assimilated success story of an American Muslim who had good grades and was widely liked in high school and had a graduate and had an engineering degree from the University of Tennessee at Chattanooga. But when he graduated, he decided to get in touch with his roots, find out what it was like back in the homeland. He became a follower of radical elements, and so he, you know, killed 4 of our U.S. servicemen in Chattanooga.
Leo, let's
July 2015.
Leo, let's go to the impact in other ways of the refugee policy, because as you write in your book, it's not just Germany. While there's a considerably smaller number of refugees entering our country, they are having an impact. Explain what you mean by that.
Oh, absolutely. The violent jihad that we've been speaking about so far today in our interview is only part of the problem, and some could argue that it's even the smallest part. And if we look, there's another problem, and it's a more long-term problem, and that is civilization jihad, which I know you're familiar with that term, but for your readers who may not be, it's a long-term plan by the Muslim Brotherhood to infiltrate American society from within using liberal immigration policies and lack of assimilation, which we've already spoken about, to build what is called a nation within a nation. And over time, that nation grows up from a seedling into a fully flowered nation, and it takes over its host. The new nation that started as a seedling overtakes the host nation, and it may take that could take 50 or 75 years, but it will happen, and we're starting to see the fruits of that next stage of jihad, civilization jihad, bearing fruit in Europe, because Europe has been playing this globalist game of importing the world's migrants far longer than the U.S. from the Middle East and other dangerous areas of the world. They've been doing it for about 50 years. America has been doing it for about 30 years, and we're a much larger country, so it will take longer. But it will no doubt happen. Demographics rule. Demographics determine the future of your nation. And as I show the birth rates in my book of Islamic women, they have fertility rates that are sky high compared to American women. So if the importation continues, we will see the demographics change over time, and we will end up with cities like Hamtramck, Michigan, which recently, as you know, became the first city in the United States to have a Muslim-majority city council. Okay, so we will end up electing Muslim leaders. Muslim citizens will elect Muslim leaders because they're not assimilating to adopt American values. They prefer Sharia values, so they're going to elect leaders who prefer Sharia values. Over time, this is what we'll see happening.
Last question for you, Leo. We talked about what you believe should be the U.S. policy towards refugees, and that is to at least temporarily stop any sort of immigration in that way. What do you do once they're already here?
You have to start requiring assimilation. You have to stop giving special favors to Islam. As we'll read in my book, we have not only invited folks here from these areas of the country, areas of the world that hate American values, but we have then kowtowed to their values and not expected any sort of assimilation. It's going on in our school systems, on our college campuses, installing foot baths for prayer rooms, and all sorts of things like this, going out of our way to accommodate the immigrants. Whereas when my generation came here in the 1920s, we didn't get welfare and we didn't have special favors offered to us. We had to fit into American society.
Leo, we'll be watching, and we'll be glad to have you back. Thank you, sir, very much for your time.
Thank you, Greg.
Leo Holman is an investigative journalist. He's news editor at WND.com, and he's author of the brand new book, Stealth Invasion, Muslim Conquest Through Immigration and Resettlement Jihad. I'm Greg Corumbus, reporting for Radio America.